Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Hallelujah. Welcome into the house of the Lord. Just to let you know, we could use any extra help that you can give us in that area, and especially be mindful that during the summer months to be faithful. And God is so good. He is so wonderful. We're excited. There really was a wonderfully strong presence of God here today. And I'm going to begin by just sharing a very quick testimony. A lot of you know that for a few months now, I've been struggling to even walk, and really, really struggling. And I had a procedure this week, and I am walking, and it is amazing. What an amazing difference. And I just wanted to share with you that I thank God for, we all need one another, right? And for the gifts that God has given our medical profession, our doctors. I know that so many of us wouldn't be here except someone used their gift faithfully unto God. I know Victor's one of them. I'm one of them. So many are, never say, I don't need someone, or because God has given them skill and talent. And I am thankful to God and to those who are faithful. So I'm rejoicing, and I could dance now. So, hey, it works for me. God is so, so good. This morning, the title of our message is a very simple title. It's, I Will Never Leave You or Forsake You. And I've said this before, I'll say it again, so many people come to this altar, especially young married couples, and they promise never to leave and forsake someone, and sometimes they don't even have an intention of keeping that promise, or they don't understand what that means or looks like, but God does, and that's the greatest promise that God has ever made to us, hands down. I want to begin by asking you a question. Have you ever been left? Have you ever been rejected or left, and how did that make you feel? It probably made you feel unloved, unworthy. This verse should give you such comfort. I'm going to read our key verse for today is Hebrews 13 and 5. Let your conversation, what you talk about, be without covetousness. Just don't talk about all the things I want. And be content and at peace with the things you have, for he hath said, I will never leave you or forsake you. You know, I used to read that verse, and I used to think, blah, da, 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 I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Until you've been left, you don't understand how powerful that promise is. But one of the translations, I never got this. Why did he say, I won't leave you or forsake you? Leaving is one thing. You don't always have to leave to forsake somebody. Do you know what several of the translations of that means? For forsake is, I will never abandon or give up on you. God's not going to leave you, and he's also not going to give up on you. So I loved that. So we can be content and not have to worry about anything or things because God's not going to give up on us. And we're told in this world we're going to have trouble, right? Anybody find that verse to be true? That alone should tell you the word of God is true. I will have trouble in this world. I get it. That's why this promise is so comforting, and let me explain to you why. A lot of times when you're going through hard times and trouble, that's the time somebody decides to leave you. They want to be there for your good times, right? Yeah, uh-huh. They're going to come to your party. But when the hard times come, hey, I need a hand. I need somebody to drive me to the doctor. I might need 10 bucks. Then it's like, I'm not around. I'm not answering that call. I have given up on you. I've forsaken you when you're at your lowest. But God isn't going to do that even if you've caused your own trouble. And right before I give this to Pastor Ken, and he can take as much time as he wants, I'm going to read a verse to you. And I shouldn't have said that, he said. But I did. Zion represents the church, and this is Isaiah 49, 14 to 16, and this hit me like a ton of bricks. This is God calling out his people for gossiping about him. You know, you've gossiped about people before, but this is God's people gossiping about him. And this is what he says about it. You have said, I heard what you said. You thought I didn't hear, but I heard what you said. The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten that I exist. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion or love for that child she has born? But even though your mama forget you, I, your God, is not going to forget you. See, and now here's where it gets good. See, because what do you mean? See, I have engraved you on the palms of your hands. I can't see, God, where you engraved me on the palms of your hands. Get a vision, it means. See means get a vision of my nail-scarred hands, and then you'll know how much I love you. See, I've engraved you on my hands. I'm not going to forget you, and I'm not going to give up on you, even if your mama gives up on you. Let me tell you, there is one who will never give up on you. And you know what? I've needed that many times when I had my 22nd chance, and God's like, okay, I still haven't given up on you.
And I think, wow, that's powerful, the thought that, you know, Pam asked the question, have you ever been left? I think we have all felt that sting of rejection. And the truth is, once someone has rejected you, it's hard to maintain a loving relationship with them because they reject who you are. It's very rare for people to say, I have a great relationship with my ex, right? Or they wouldn't be an ex, you know. Years ago, and I've never forgotten this, some of you may remember, it was a really dark Wendy's commercial. And it showed this, like, bottomless pit. And everyone that was not going to Wendy's, they were just going along with everything else. And people were jumping into this pit one after another. There was like a crowd of people, and they were just diving in the pit because other people were diving in the pit. So it was a very dark commercial. It's like people were committing suicide, but they were doing it one after another. It was a Wendy's commercial. Again, very dark. But it hit me. It's like the world just follows the world. I mean, people yell and they get excited about the things other people are excited about. Imagine being in the crowd where everyone's like, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Well, that was the chant of the hour. And how easy it is for us to slide in with the world's attitude towards God, because believe me, it's easy to follow the world, the world's trends. You go, I don't follow the world's trends. They all have a double latte, chocolate, malted, give me a sprinkle and half a latte and foam it up, and that's a number 12. I have no idea what these people are ordering.
Guilty.
And that's fine, but when we follow the world on things that are not true, God gave you a mind. And here's the thing. Here's the reason I like the word and I like science. Science follows the facts. And you have to be able to change your mind about things. Because if you grew up in a house that hated Jesus, you have to be able to change your mind about that. Or if you grew up around friends that are prejudiced, you have to have the ability to say, that's not who I want to be. And there's a quote from Hitler that says, if you tell a lie enough, often enough, people will believe it. If you tell the lie, you just keep telling the lie over and over. But I feel like I'm intelligent enough that when I hear about anything, people that I supported at one time and maybe I don't support now, but I look at the facts. I look at the evidence. And when it comes to Christianity, we have to be able to weigh the evidence. You have to be able to look at an animal and say, was that evolved? Did God give you enough intelligence to decide whether or not that sprang up on its own or whether or not that was designed? The world is so quick to reject Christianity. You know it. If we go around along with the world, we will be bitter like they are. We will be repeating their same talking points. We need to get embedded in our faith, because here's the thing. When we talk about never leaving, that's what God does. But how much does it break God's heart when he hears his children repeating what the world is saying, and his children saying, I'm thinking about leaving, and his children questioning? That, here's the thing about questions, too. If someone here said to me, Pastor Ken, I'd like to get together with you and go over some Bible questions I have, I'd be thrilled for that. Thrilled for that. But here's the key. Sometimes when they say they have questions about God, they have accusations about God. It's not real questions. It's not like, really, I would like to know about the Holy Spirit. Instead, like, how come God this? And why do you think God that? And who does God think he is? And why? It's questioning God. It's questioning Christianity. So the thing that we have to remember about God, but I think we forget this because he's God and he's all powerful. He's all powerful. He can't be hurt. Baloney. He is all powerful, but he can be hurt. His heart is broken. You see Jesus weeping. He can be hurt by what? By us. By our rejection of him. And that's such, that's so dishonoring, where he comes to you and he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And you go, I'm thinking about leaving you, though. Yeah. And here's the thing about what you say. Of course, what you think is the most important. As a man thinketh, so is he. So you have to be able to say, am I just an actor putting a mask on? Because what you're thinking in your heart is where it's at. But eventually, what you're thinking will be a weed that will just, like, weeds just grow and they come out. Eventually, that comes out of your mouth. It gets in your heart, and it grows, and it grows, and it comes out of your mouth. And here's the thing about saying it. This is true of marriages, but it's also, but I'm mostly talking about God. But let's use the example of a marriage. If 7 years ago your husband or wife said to you, I'm thinking about a divorce, if I were you, I'd still be looking for an attorney. 7 years ago they said, I'm thinking about a divorce. That is a seed that was planted. And if someone says to me, I love this church, but we're considering leaving, I just tell Pam, it may be 6 months from now, it might be 10 years from now, but they said they're thinking about leaving. They are leaving. They are leaving. Out of the abundance, you cannot plant a seed unless you burn that seed down. And the things that we say that are anti-God, the things that we say that question God, the things that we say that would cause God to say, oh, I wish they hadn't said that, it's still out there. Once you plant the seed, unless you specifically dig up that seed and take it and burn it and repent of it, I promise you that seed is still active. And so when it comes to me, when it comes to you, you've got to realize that the plan of Satan is to get people upset with God, bitter at God. And you hear it. You talk to people. How do you feel about God? And you can hear the bitterness in their voice. You can hear the complaining in their voice. But you have to decide, I'm not leaving God. And the lies about God, I'm not going to believe. All the lies about God, that starting with the garden, that God knows that if you do this, it'll be amazing. You'll be wise. There's nothing wrong with it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me give you an example of God leaving someone. The children of Israel thought God had left them. Did God leave them? He did not. The prodigal son had to come up with an excuse why he was leaving the father. And you know what? The father did this, and the father did that, and the father didn't do this. He had to come, and guess what? Once you go against God or go against the father, now everywhere you go, you have to double down on that. Why'd you leave God? Oh, and just like a list in their back pocket. Oh, why did I leave church and God? Well, here, I got it all written out here. I'll just, it's like it's a list in their back pocket, a memorized list of why they don't pray, why they don't praise, why they don't come to church. So the loyalty that people have one for another is what, and I'll never forget Tony Pessina saying this years ago. He said, any time that things are going good in people's life, they never give credit to God. But, he said, And that's true, that first part, right? Someone's blessed, they've got money. When things are going good, they do not say, God blessed me. He said, but when something goes wrong in their life, immediately they blame God. Judas must have had some accusations about God, but they were based on lies. We can feel far from God, and we can even say it, but that doesn't make it true at all. The truth is that God is never too busy for us, that God is our shepherd, that we should be close to our sheep. The truth is He loves you, and He loved you, and He will continue to love you. Isaiah 53 says here's the truth of it all. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was laid on Him, and by His wounds we are healed.
You know, I think one of the things that we need to always be reminded of is God knows our thoughts and the intent and the content of our heart. You know, it was interesting to me, you know, you spoke earlier, but I touch on this. Mary, God can handle a question if it's not formed as an accusation. You know, Mary and Zechariah asked pretty much close to almost the same question, and one of them got struck dumb. It's your heart, the attitude of your heart, your intent, and God knows all of that. You know, in talking about God, and we're talking today about God never leaving us and how we are like Gomer in the story of Hosea, sometimes we have failed Him and been unfaithful repeatedly. Not one time, but repeatedly. And there's an old country song that I heard. I don't even know where I heard it. I don't even listen to country music, but it said something about leaving on your mind, you know, and God knows the thoughts of our heart. But something hit me when I was typing yesterday, this message, because I was referencing the story of the prodigal son. There is no story or parable about a prodigal father. It's the story of the prodigal son. It's us. It's not about the father. That story is about a loving father and a prodigal son. You know, I grew up in a home where I never worried about my father leaving or going to leave, the possibility. But the fact is, one day my father did leave. He went to heaven. But our heavenly Father is never going to leave us. He's going to be with us through now and throughout eternity. But I love Isaiah 49 and 14 and 16, God speaking about how we, the church, by the way, have talked about Him and how He's heard it, just like Sarah. It said, because this is you, what the church has said about me. Now, here's the thing about that. It's one thing if the world says, oh, I don't feel God, I don't think God's with me. Here's what God is saying, but you have said this. You know, it's one thing if somebody outside that doesn't even know me starts saying, she's this, she's that. It's another if Ken says, she's not faithful, she's not this, she's not. And that's what God's saying to them. You people should have known better. Why are you saying these things that I have left you, I've given up on you? That's not the truth. We should know better. And, you know, Sarah laughing, denying it. I haven't laughed. I haven't said that. Yes, we have. And God loves us in spite of it all. You know, the Word of God says that He's mindful of us. And He loves us. Let me tell you, remember I told you one time I was in my car and I was driving along and worshiping. And many of you have heard this if you're here on Monday night, that I said that God, I was saying, God, I love you, God, I love you. And God spoke to me and He said, well, I don't just love you. I'm in love with you. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I love a lot of people. But I fell in love with Dave. That means that's the person that you're committed to 100%, that you're going to make a covenant promise to Dave, not to anyone else, not going to leave, not going to forsake. That's what God is saying to us. And There is a difference because when you're in, I know who loves God. I know who loves God. It's those, I'll use Victor again. He's sitting right here. He's too close to the front like Frida. The things that Victor sends are, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. God is for you, not a, and he is with you. All it's God. He's in love with God. And Frida, the same way. You know, I don't need recipes. They can't save me. I don't need cute little things. Although I'm not throwing any stones at any cute little things. I love butterflies too. I do. I'm just telling you, you can know when someone's in love with Jesus. You can know when they're in love with Jesus. That's what they want to talk about. That's who they want to talk about. And just because we're going through a hard time, let me tell you about God's people, why they felt this way. Their nation had been destroyed, not God's fault. Let me say it again, not God's fault that your life is being destroyed, okay? Their nation had been destroyed. Their capital city of Jerusalem was in ruins, not God's fault. Their precious temple was been demolished and they were broken, not God's fault, my fault. And this is at the point that God speaks to them and tells them, I have not forgotten you. You've said it, but it ain't true. God's calling them out for lying here. And if I've said that God has forgotten me, that God has not come through for me, I'm a liar. If I ever say it, I'm a liar. Just because you are going through a hard time today, it's not true that God has caused that hard time, and it is not true. Chances are you and the devil helped each other and caused that. God has not abandoned me in my hard time. If I walk away from God because I'm having a hard time, that's not God's issue, that's mine. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength and what? What kind of help? A very present help in trouble. God isn't a very absent person in trouble. He's not an absent father. He's not a deadbeat father. He is always with us. Let me read you some words that were inscribed on the death camp at Auschwitz death camp. I believe in the sun even when it's not shining. I believe in love even when I am alone. I believe in God even when it seems he is silent. I believe in him. Another man wrote a song. I'm going to hand this to Ken. After his home had been burned to the ground. His name was George Young, and he wrote these powerful, powerful words to the song, God Leads His Dear Children Along. You should take that title and run with it, God Leads His Dear Children Along. Here's what it says. Some through the water, some through the flood, and some through the fire, but all through the blood, he leads us along, all through the blood.
Sometimes we treat God ordinary. Where we forget how holy he is, and how amazing that he is. It reminds me of a video I saw of this father, who's a giant man. He was like 6'4", and he had this real little girl. She was about 3 years old, and she had her arms crossed, and she's like, "No, no." So here's this small little thing telling this huge man, absolutely no. And it reminded me of the Father and us, that we're, you know, we would have the audacity to tell an all-powerful God that we would question him or say no to him. The children of Israel, those stories, as Pam said last week, that's our history book. That's our family album. That's your family and my family. Lot that is in your family. And all. So here's the children of Israel who are in our family, and all they did was grumble, gripe, and complain for 40 years, and God just kept saying, I just keep hearing this complaining. Can you imagine how different that story would have been if, when they crossed the Red Sea, if all that God had heard was the rejoicing, if all that God had heard was faith, if when he fed them manna and they complained over, as a matter of fact, they complained so much that Moses said, we are naming this town Grumble, Gripe, and Complain. It literally, when you came to that town, there was a sign that said, welcome to Grumble, Gripe, and Complain. It's like Moses said, you're going to own this. This is who you are. You're grumblers, gripers, and complainers. And Yet God continued to bring manna. He continued to bring water. Here is where I think we're missing it. People allow themselves to get bitter at God, which I think is the most dangerous thing we can do, to question God. But they allow that because they have a false idea that's not in the Bible, that because they're a Christian, that means nothing bad can happen to them. And sometimes you'll hear it in people's voice. Oh, no, no, nothing ever will happen to me. I'll never catch that. I'll never get this. I'll never be in a car accident. Nothing will ever happen to my home. I'll never need a new roof. So if you say there's hail coming down, it's going to do, nope, not, it's not going to happen to my house. And my car, I'll never be in a car accident. Okay, if that's your philosophy, let me ask you something. How do you explain the last 3 car accidents you were in? How do you explain that you needed to replace your roof? How did you explain that you got COVID? I just slipped up on my faith. Really, is that it? Because if you have the idea that nothing bad can ever happen to you, you are going to get bitter at God. God, I thought that it was impossible for me to get a sore throat. God, I thought it was impossible for me to have a problem with my child. I thought it was impossible to have any financial problems whatsoever because you're going to provide for me. I thought it was impossible that I would even hit my foot against a stone because his angels. But the Bible doesn't teach that there will not be problems for. It teaches the opposite, that you will have persecution. Read what Paul said. We were hungry. We were cold. We were beat. We were in prison. People were sawed in half. Does the Bible say that it rains on the unjust but not the just? It does not say that. Does the sun shine 24 hours a day in your life? Or do you have to deal with 12 hours of darkness like everybody else? When it rains, do you need an umbrella? Yes, you do. And so to get a false idea of God when he said the opposite, that it would be hard. Now, if you read the Hall of Fame, it's divided into 2 parts. The miraculous, where God delivered them and where they stayed faithful and they died. They're all in the Hall of Fame. Some trusted God and he shut the lion's mouth, praise God. But many of those martyrs, no lion's mouths were shut. You realize there's been thousands and thousands of people that trusted God and they were burned at the stake. Old Polycarp was 95 years old. He was a disciple of Jesus. He was a disciple of John the Baptist. And when he was, after Jesus had died and been resurrected, the early church was going, they began to persecute Christians. And Polycarp was in a safe place. And he heard the news that in Jerusalem they are putting Christians to death. And he said, I'm going to Jerusalem. And they said, no, don't you understand? That's where they're putting Christians to death. He said, I'm going to preach. I'm 95. He got on the corner and he started saying, hey, everybody, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. He began to preach and they arrested him. They sentenced him to death, but they didn't want to kill him because they would rather he reject Christ. That's what they wanted. You make a martyr of someone and people say, well, they join the cause. It's just like, I'm going to bunny trail here. When the Bible was first published, Satan was so angry about it, they bought all the copies of the Bible that were in existence. And then they burned them. And then the people that they bought them from said, hey, we got money, let's print more Bibles. So they printed 3 times more because they bought them to burn them. So anyway, so Polycarp, it never works. Polycarp says, I'm going to preach in Jerusalem. They arrest him. And this is what happened. They tied him to a wooden stake with fire stuff. You know, they got all kinds, I don't know what they had, you know, wood, straw, newspapers. And they gave him that chance to save his life. They said, Polycarp, you're an old man, and we don't want to see you burn to death. No one wants to hear those screams. Just do this. Just reject Jesus. Just denounce Jesus. And Polycarp, this was his answer. I don't want to see this someday. Not him burning, but I want to see this faith. He said, Jesus has never denied me. You think I'm going to deny him? Strike the match. Go ahead, do it. And they did. They killed him. Okay, so how come God didn't miraculously rescue him? How come there's Christians that are in car accidents? How come there's Christians that do get cancer and die? Good Christians. There was something wrong with their faith. You know, don't say that. There's been too many. You're telling me that everyone that died on 9/11, that none of them were Christians? You know, that's not true. It does rain on the just and the unjust alike. Wait until you get to heaven and you're seated at the banquet table, and then tell God you didn't meet your promises. But his promise is that I go to prepare a place for you, not that nothing bad will ever happen. The reason bad things happen, unfortunately, is because of free will. I can rob a liquor store this afternoon if I want to. I can kill someone this afternoon if I want to. Now, I'm not saying there's not protection from God. I'm not saying, but you have to be in the secret place. Yes, you have to be trusting God. But here's the thing. I'm not leaving God because there's bad things that happen in life. Because I know there's more blessings than curses. I love to study history, and there were several battles during World War II where they told the soldiers, the enemy is behind you, the enemy is front of you, the enemy has surrounded you. And the orders were, stay where you are and fight. And you are a tree. And you're not. And have you ever heard of the term walking trees? No! Have you ever seen a tree walking around? The reason we're trees is God plants you. And you go, but he planted me in a desert. That's why your roots go down into the living water, even in a desert. So stay where you are planted, and don't get bitter at God. Oh, that's the most, Pam, it's the most dangerous thing. Yes. Haven't you heard? How often do we hear people complaining about God? Oh, it is so dangerous when it's based on a lie. The thief, let me say, but he allows this. No, the thief has come to kill, to steal, and destroy. I am come that you would have life and have it more abundantly. God didn't give you cancer. He didn't put you in a car accident. But you need to be ready to go to heaven at any time or live till 98. But God is faithful to you. He has never, ever, all those accusations, he's never done any of them.
God is all present. God is omnipresent. We know that. That means that God is everywhere, that he's not going to leave us or forsake us. He's always going to be present. But we need the gift of his presence, not just his presence, but his manifest presence. That's what we need in our lives. And, you know, while God is always present, it doesn't mean that we are always present. You know, you can be somewhere and still not be present. Did you know that? You absolutely can. Your heart not be there. You know, but the gift of his presence is that one of the most comforting things, that God is never going to leave you and he's going to be there. I remember one time I was in the hospital and I had had surgery, and my dad was visiting, and he was staying there, and he was sitting by my bed reading the Bible, and he was praying and trying to say things to me, and I was in horrible, horrible pain, and it wasn't time for a pain shot. You know, we were waiting for me to get the next pain shot. And, you know, here's the situation. My dad was an earthly dad. He could not take the pain away from me at all. But that did not mean that his presence was not comforting to me in pain. He was there with me in the pain. And that's the presence of God. Until the pain goes away, he is there with us. He could not cure me, but of course my father, Heavenly Father, healed me. But we don't need to deny that God is present. And he's not going to leave us because he loves us. And his love for us is what keeps him staying with us. It is his love for us. Do you know that God is a jealous God? He's not jealous of you that you're so great and you're so wonderful. He's jealous for you because he wants you unto himself. He wants you to be his special love and him to be your special love. You know, Dave is jealous. He's not jealous of me. Oh, you can do so many things, Pam. He's jealous for me. And does he hate other people and other guys? No, he doesn't. But he wants that special relationship. And so does God want that with you and I. That intimate relationship that you have with no one else, your first love should be the Lord God. That doesn't mean your first in numerical. That means your priority love. Your number one should be God. And he is a jealous God. He loves you. He's in love with you. And that's why he's given us his word, his promises. That's why we don't have to worry about anything. And if you can't get to God, just like the man at the pool, if you're so broken, if you don't even know about God, that man didn't even know about God. All he knew about was this pool, which superstition, wow, who gets in first? But guess what? If you can't get to Jesus, he's present for you. He's going to come to you. You have his promises. And for every problem in life, God has given you a promise that is greater than the problem. Can I say that again? For every problem in life you have, I can give you a matching promise that is greater than that problem. I promise you, bring me your problem. I dare you. And I will bring you a promise of God that is greater than that problem that you are facing right now. And I'm going to read to you Matthew 6, 25 and 27. Therefore, I tell you, the Lord, I'm telling you something. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink. Don't worry about your food or your body, your health, or what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Take a look up in the sky at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, you know, he tells us, do not worry. And then he says, I love this part of it. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? He might as well have said second. The answer is no. Worrying doesn't help, but I can tell you that it absolutely hurts you in life. We can't add to our life. God, our Heavenly Father, cares about us that much and then some. You know, why do we worry? Why don't we have a little more faith in God than that? You know what? I love that it says the birds of the air, and here's why. The other night, Mom and I were sitting in the room, and Maverick comes in, and he just lays. He goes from room to room. He'll walk to Dave's room. He'll walk to our room. He'll walk to the next room. He goes, gets some water. He goes, gets a little bit of food. He trusts that we'll take him outside when he needs to go outside. He just has not. Mom tells him all the time, you got a good life. You're a lazy dog. You got a good life. And he does, because he's got somebody that he can count on. He's got a papa and a mama and a grams that he can count on. And he doesn't lay on that floor, I am so worried if they filled my water bowl or not. Do you know you don't have to worry God is going to give you living water? You don't have to worry what you're going to eat. Your bowl is always going to be filled by God. You don't have to worry where you're going to lay your head. There's a room for you in your Father's house. That's how much he cares for you and I. And let me tell you something else, and that's how much he loves you. If you won't be angry if I say that you're not easy to love. You won't be angry if I say I'm not easy to love. Sometimes it's true, ain't it? It's hard for your mother to love you, your father to love you. But God loves you unconditionally, and that's what gives me such great comfort, that he's never going to leave me and forsake me. My bowl will always be filled. My cup of water will always be filled because I have someone who cares for me.
It's interesting to even watch eyewitnesses in a car accident. The red car hit the blue car. No, it was the blue car that hit the red car. I saw it. That car ran the red light. No, that car ran the green. People's memories and people's, sometimes our abilities to distinguish truth from false is very, that's why I was saying, you're listening to the wrong voice. You're listening to the wrong news channel. You know, there was a news channel that was pumping out all this information that's now gone off the air. But it was just pumping out all this misinformation. Just kept pumping it out. It's the Hitler thing. He just kept telling the lie long enough. But Satan doesn't go off the air. He just keeps repeating these lies. Now, here's the thing about being loyal to Jesus and not leaving Jesus. And see if you can spot the difference between this. The difference between denying Jesus when someone is threatening to burn you alive and no threat whatsoever, just going along with the world. What I'm saying is Satan doesn't have to put a knife to people's sake, to their neck, to say deny Jesus. All he needs to do is repeat some false stories about Jesus. And they do it voluntarily without even any. And I do like the stories. If you ever get a chance to read the Fox's Book of Martyrs or the, what was the other one that was? Jesus Freaks was the name of the book. And it was filled with stories. What Jesus Freaks is, it's people that love Jesus so much that they gave their life for Jesus. But that it you see men and women and children with such conviction. There's lots of things I don't know. You know, is wrestling real? You know, a lot of people. So people think wrestling is real, or you know, of course it's not real, right? But of course it's fake. But let's say you thought it was real, but. That's not life-threatening. You think wrestling is real, you know, and you think some politician loves you that couldn't care less about you. But you can be wrong about a lot of things and still go to heaven. But you can't be wrong about the love of God and the fact that Jesus is your Savior. If you get that wrong, it doesn't matter what else you get right. There's a lot of scientists that get a lot of things right. They're very smart, but they get one thing wrong. They look at the stars and say the universe created itself and the heart of God. So you can get a lot right and still get the one thing wrong. But in this book of martyrs, and I've told some of these stories before, one of the stories is they were putting Christians to death, and they had a Bible set up, and they would tell people, we're not going to put you to death if you just spit on this Bible. Spit on the Bible. And, you know, they had people trampling on the Bible, spitting on the Bible. And people were doing it just to save their own life. And in times like that, the justification is better to live for God, you know, than die right now. There's all kinds of reasons to justify why you would deny Christ. But there was one girl that she picked the Bible up, but instead of spitting on it, she wiped the spit off of it. And of course, they put her to death. There was another story where there was, and I forgot who it was. I think it was a younger person that, I'll have to reread that because there's so many stories. But they said, if you deny Jesus, you can leave. If not, you get put to death. And he said, I deny Jesus. I deny, and he repeated whatever they wanted him to say. They said, you can go. You're free to go. And he left. And then they were working on the next person. You can deny. And as they were talking to the next person, he was at the door. And they opened the door. They said, what do you want? He said, I can't live with it. I can't live with a denial. He says, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Tony said that he reads the Bible every day. That to me is like, you know, a couple of things. First of all, that's great. Our response should be, duh. We should be reading the Bible every day. Because here's the thing about reading the Bible every day. If you look in those Psalms, it's like eating every day. It's like if Tony said, I want everyone to know I eat every day. It's like, good. But if we're sitting here going, I don't read the Bible every day, it's like going, no, I eat once a week. You know, I just have a meal once a week. How healthy would you be if you ate once a week? You wouldn't be healthy. You can't eat manna once a week. How often did the manna come? Every single day. We need daily word. And I got to tell you, when I read Psalms as a child, I loved the Bible as a child. But half of Psalms didn't apply to me. I'm like, skip, 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 skip. I would start a psalm and it would say, I am brokenhearted in distress. Swipe left or right, whatever it is. I don't want to read this psalm. Why is David so depressed? What is he always talking about? I'm heartbroken and people are against me. I'm like, what kind of life is he living? I'd get to the good stuff. I realized that all those psalms about being brokenhearted and being rejected and feeling alone. None of those applied to me. Not one of them. Like Pam said, I wasn't worried about who's paying the gas bill or where the next meal is coming. Everything I needed was provided for me, and so I thought that a lot of the word didn't apply to me. And then I found out later that God wrote that Bible for me as a child and as an adult, and now there's almost nowhere you can open those Psalms that you don't hear David say, my heart is broken within me. Some of those are David talking, and some of those are called messianic psalms. It's actually David taking the place. You'll hear David say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's not David talking. That's the Holy Spirit talking about the heartbreak of Jesus. So as an adult, I know that you relate to those psalms. And I'm telling you that if you're brokenhearted, you got to do what Tony does. You got to just, and if you don't know where to go, go to Psalms, all right? Go to Psalms and you'll see God talking to you. And you'll realize it does rain on the just and unjust. But you'll also realize not just that it rains on the just and unjust, but there'll always be an answer. There'll always be the sun breaking forth. There'll always be, if I trust in God, he's going to lift you out of that pit. He's going to place you on a rock. So what I'm saying is the hard times are often the temporary times because the sun's coming out. If you trust in God, look at Job. Look at the news he got. He was brokenhearted. He could have been bitter. He could have said, I'm done with God. But he fell on his face and worshiped because he knew who God was. And you and I need to know who God is. People are going to betray you, but God will be faithful. But don't betray God. People will leave you, but God will never leave you. Don't ever leave God. People will reject you. But don't reject them. Don't reject people. Why shouldn't I reject someone? Because once you reject them, that relationship is broken until the person that rejected them is able to make it right. You know, to quote my mom, she says, the person that leaves is the person that's got to come back. And when the prodigal son leaves, he finally, and I love this part, in this story it said, when he came to his senses, he finally realized what was actually going on. So as I pass this back to Pam, I want to remind you of something just beautiful. God is always close to the brokenhearted. So if you ever put yourself in that category, that's a reason to be thankful. I'm brokenhearted, but God's close to the brokenhearted. And when things are that tough, I have two choices. I can get bitter and say I'm done with God, or I can listen to Jesus. Knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking. Ask and keep on asking. He's listening.
We're gonna go ahead and start to close if you want to stand. I have homework for you. Go home and Google the Brooklyn Tabernacle song, How Many Times Must I Prove How Much I Love You? How many times? Didn't I pay the bills? Didn't I come right up in time when you had a problem? Wasn't I there all the time? You will love it. I'm going to close out with this. Have you ever, and this is shocking because you've heard these stories many, many times. How many of you have ever read in the newspaper or heard on the news of a father or a mother who left their child in the back seat of the car? And that child expired. And you think to yourself, what a terrible, terrible, terrible parent, father, mother, whoever it is, what a terrible person that they would forget their own child. But that's what the Bible's talking about in Psalm when it said, can a mother forget? It is possible to forget. We shouldn't. There was a meme that said, there's going to be a thing in cars soon that it says to make sure you check the back seat and see if there's something important in the back seat. Yes. If you put your child in, there's something important, someone. But God's never going to leave us. He's never going to let us down like that. He's never going to forget us. There are tragic things that happen in this world. People abandon us. People forsake us. People betray. People ghost other people. And if you don't know that term, it's a terribly disheartening term. It's when you leave a relationship, exit a relationship, and you don't tell anyone why. You just decide, I'm going, I'm done, I'm through. That does such damage to a person's heart. If you want to hurt somebody badly, that's what people do. God is not that way. When the whole world walks out on you and you're in the prison by yourself that you created yourself, God is not going to forget you. He's going to turn and he's going to say, they're in the back seat and I'm going to take care of them. I'm not going to forget them. I thank God. Father, we just thank you today. We thank you that you have never forgotten us, that you have made good on your promises, that in this world we have trouble. Yes, yes, yes. But that you are not going to leave us in our time of trouble, that you are near the brokenhearted, that you bind up our wounds, that you're not going to pass by us, Father God, that you're not going to rebuke us and say you caused this yourself because you took it upon yourself. You took all of our iniquity and all of our sin as if it never happened. You washed it away and cast it into your sea of forgetfulness. Father God, and although we were like Gomer in the story of Hosea and we left you multiple times, we continued to be unfaithful, 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 but you remained faithful, 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 and you always will. You're always there, Lord. Father, you're always present in the darkest of hours, Father God. And no matter how many times we fall, seven times you lift us up. That seven is every day of the week you're going to lift us up, Father. That's 7 days a week you continue to lift us to our feet. Father God, we thank you for the nail-scarred hands that lift us up. Lord, we ask if there's any needs that your people have today, whether it be sickness, whether they need restoration. Father God, no matter what it is, Father God, broken heart, physical bodies, you heal, Lord, you're still the healer. Lord, we thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for the peace we feel, Father God. We thank you for the cross, Lord. Be with us as we go about our week this week. Whatever we face, you already know about. In Jesus' name, we worship you. Let's just worship together.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.